Okay, welcome to the class on if at first you don't succeed. Try again. Is that a biblical term, maybe? Why is that such a common saying? So in this class, we're going to look at the definition of success, maybe some reasons we don't experience success, and the key, the secret key to having success. How would you finish the sentence if it started like this? If at first you do succeed, then what?
Keep on doing what you were.
Okay, very good. What else? Maybe celebrate because it probably won't happen again. Edison tried hundreds of different materials for the light bulb before he found one that worked. So, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Maybe we should say, when at first you don't succeed, try again. And I'm not saying we should expect to fail. No one wants to fail. No one expects to fail. But just remember that success is not a one-time event. It's not something that just comes easily, I guess we should say. Success is not a one-time event. So what is failure then? What is failure? Yes.
Stopping trying.
Thank you. That's a very good answer. Failure is not simply not succeeding. Failure is not simply not succeeding on the first attempt. Absolutely not. Failure only happens when we give up. It happens when we stop trying. So keep that in mind. Failure, it only happens when we stop trying. And some of these thoughts that I'm sharing they're not original with me. They're things that I've heard elsewhere. It's like the one man said, "The reason I can see so far is because I stand on the shoulders of giants." Success. Let's go back to success again. What is the definition of success? I asked my family. I said, "You know, what is a successful teacher? What does a successful teacher look like? Maybe something like the perfect teacher." Or what is a successful parent? Are any of you parents? How many parents do we have here? Just two? Okay. And a half? Okay. Yeah. So, maybe you don't know about successful parents, but you see parents, right? You see parents, and you probably think in your mind, when you look at a family, you think, now those parents, they're doing a good job, right? You compare and you think, yeah, they're doing a good job. So what makes a successful parent? We're getting some more parents here. What makes a successful teacher? Like, in your mind, I want some feedback. It seems like an easy question, but after you start thinking about it, then it's not quite as easy as what it first was. Any thoughts? What is a successful teacher? What does a successful parent look like, Harold?
That's someone who understands better.
Now that says something right there. Yeah, when he doesn't, he can't tell me. So it's not a success is not a pinnacle that you reach. It's a series of steps that you climb. Another quote says, "Success is not a destination. Success is not a destination. It's a journey." So I looked it up in the dictionary. You know, the dictionary surely knows what success is. If y'all don't, I mean, certainly they can tell me what it is. So Webster's defines success as a favorable or desired outcome. And that makes a lot more sense. It's a favorable outcome. Okay. So sometimes we can see the results of our choices and we can see the success, but oftentimes we can't. Another definition of success is the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence, or popularity. If someone's wealthy, they're a success. If someone's happy, they're a success. If someone's popular, that's a successful person, right? That's the world's definition of success. Hopefully that's not your definition of success. The world is a very warped view of success, and I think that's a lot of the reason I don't like the phrase. Well, I shouldn't say I don't like it. I just if at first you don't succeed, try again. It almost sounds like, okay, so if you're not successful, that means you're not working hard enough. You need to keep on trying. And it can give the wrong implications there, that success is just we have to work harder for it. If you're not successful, it's your fault somehow, and because of you're not doing it right. And while that could be true, I think we often look at success. It all depends on your definition of success. We look at success in a bad way. Let me ask you a question. So, let's say you have a wealthy business owner who has a successful business, well-to-do. And then on the other hand, you have the man on the street corner. Seeing those, it's probably written more neatly than what he would have written it, but my wife wrote it, so that's why. I should have maybe written it. Who's a success? Which one's a success? I promise there's no wrong answer. Just tell me. What do you think?
Businessman.
Right. That's the logical answer. Obviously, we don't know more details. We have to know more details to know which one was a success. But think of the story in the Bible. In Luke, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That hopefully kind of shakes you up a little bit. Wait, whoa. We all would have said that the businessman is the successful person, and that this lazy bum on the street that's begging, he's a failure. But yet in this case, I don't know the details, but evidently in God's eyes, the rich man was a failure, and Lazarus was a success. Evidently he believed in God and trusted God. So God, what is God's view of success? What do you think? What is God's view of success? Anyone in the Bible who you can think of was successful?
Job.
Thank you. Do you know, is success, the word success used in the Bible? I think if you were listening, you would have heard someone say earlier, which maybe you weren't in the right class, but there was a teacher that mentioned it earlier about the word success being found in the Bible. Can anyone tell me if it's found in the Bible and where? Yes. Okay, that's right. It was used once in the Bible. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they said where, but does anyone know where it's found in the Bible? Who was promised success?
Joshua is a guess, but I don't know for sure.
That is absolutely right. Joshua was promised success. After they were close to the land of Canaan, Moses had died, and Joshua was in charge, and he was very intimidated, perhaps. He was concerned about how he's going to do this. And I think, if I have it right, he went off by himself, and an angel came to him and told him in Joshua 1, verse 6 through 9, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So was Joshua successful? Okay, thumbs up if he was, thumbs down if he wasn't. Everyone give an answer. Okay, most of you are saying thumbs up. Yeah, we would consider him to be a success. But now let's look at his life. Let's look at some details that happened in his life. Wait, what about Ai? Uh-oh. Y'all forgot about that one. Well, maybe not. You know, maybe that wasn't his fault either. I don't know. But they went to Ai to conquer it. Joshua sent out men to do it, and they lost and were beaten badly, and quite a few of them were killed in the process. What about the Gibeonites? They came to Joshua and pretended to be from a far country, and he was fooled. You still think he was a success? Did they drive all the Canaanites out of Canaan? No, actually, they didn't. So how was he a success? We're going to come back to that more later. All right, so back to my question again. I'm giving you some more context now. You know what success is? Success is a desired outcome, a pleasing outcome. So what makes a teacher successful? Most of you are teachers here, and I hope, I'm sure all of you want to be successful, right? You want to be successful this year in your classes. So what makes a teacher successful? What do you think? Okay, I like that. A happy classroom where students are learning. That's a good answer. Anything else?
Connecting with your students.
Okay, connecting with your students, developing a relationship. What about everyone gets, your grade average is 95%. Or, no, it's in the 90s. Does that mean you're a successful teacher? No, actually, probably not. But sometimes we get fooled into thinking that that's our measure. That's the measure of our success. And, you know, I had to deal with that. I taught in one school, and the students there were... school was easier for them, and they got good grades, and I was kind of proud of my 93 or 94% grade average that my students had, and I figured it must be, you know, a good teacher they had. I'm successful. And then went to another school where there was a lot of struggling students that struggled, and the grade average was quite a bit lower than what it was. Suddenly I wasn't so sure about my teaching abilities. You know, but we can't look at the grades to determine your success. Don't look at the grades. Yeah, we have such a warped idea of success sometimes. And I'm not saying you do. I do. But it's because the world's rubbing off on us. And when often what they think is success, we kind of buy into some of that stuff. That if you're wealthy, you're successful. If your students get good grades, then you're successful. Here's another area I think that, at least when I was growing up, this was kind of a thing. What makes a courtship successful? Anybody dating here? Oh, you are dating? Okay. Ooh, I should be careful what I say then. I didn't know that, so I
would say not all successful courtship ends in marriage.
Okay, thank you. What is the purpose of courtship? Let's put it that way. What is the purpose of courtship?
Find out if you're compatible for marriage.
Exactly. Just you're trying to find out if you're right for each other. So why does everybody come to you with words of condolences when you break up? You know, I dated the first time to a girl that I'm not married to, obviously. And
you too?
Okay. You know, and I remember the breakup was, it was hard. But I am so thankful now that we found out that we weren't made for each other. Praise the Lord. It was a successful courtship. We learned what God's will was. And we, even though we broke up. But I think there's kind of some stigma, maybe among our Mennonite churches sometimes, that if you start dating and then you break up, that, oh, I'm so sorry it didn't work out for you. You know. And one person came to me and just patted me on the shoulder and, yeah, I heard she quit you. Yeah, just like he was. And I know I'm sure he meant well. And it wasn't even that way that she quit me. But anyway, you know, it was just the attitude that, you know, it's viewed as something negative. And yes, I understand. It's hard. It's sad. But it's not. If you find out that you're not for each other, praise the Lord, you found out before you're married and not after. Because then it's too late. So we often have a mixed up idea of what actually makes something successful. So let me ask you another question. Was Jesus a successful teacher? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, wait though. What about Judas? Was Judas a success? No, he was a failure, as far as I know. I don't know if he did some last-minute repenting or not, but I don't know if he had much chance. So even Jesus had a student who failed. What is the desired outcome? Remember, success is the desired outcome. A favorable or desired outcome. So maybe we have to start redefining what is our goal. Is our goal to get our class average up to 95%? Is that the outcome that we want? That's what's important to us. Or what is our goal? Maybe let's be more specific. Maybe our goal is that we want them to stop leaving blank answers on their tests. Ah, it's so aggravating when you get a test and there's just nothing there. And they could have at least tried to guess something. I told my students one time, I said, well, at least write, if you don't know, just write, I don't know there. That way, at least I know you were thinking about it and didn't just leave it blank because you missed it. So, yeah, let's come up with some solution to fix that problem. And if we can fix it, then we're successful. But if we can't fix it, then we failed. Sometimes we view it that way. But oftentimes, it's not just a simple fix that you can apply to it. Yes, there's things you can do to help them remember. You can remind them to check over their tests before they hand them in. And you can have them, yeah, different things you can do. Maybe even punish them for it, possibly. But it's a process of training. And it's something that I didn't really learn until I became a parent. When I taught school, or before we had children, I knew a lot of good ways about how to train children and how to raise them up. And I knew a lot of things. But when we started having children, then suddenly my theories started going out the window, and I know a lot less now than what I did back when I was 18, 19. So it's not always an easy fix. It's not always a simple solution. Sometimes it takes work. It takes time, years, to train children, to train students. It's not, imagine having, you know, say we're trying to teach our 4-year-old obedience, and, you know, he's disobedient, and so we spank him. And then maybe he's disobedient again a week later, we spank him again. But then after that, then we've got it taken care of. He's trained, right? Never be disobedient again. Or if he is still disobedient, then we must be a failure. It's a process. It's a series of steps. It's a journey. That's the success part. And it's the same way with your students. You're not going to fix your students with just a couple solutions. It's going to take a process of working with them. And it may get discouraging at times, because it seems like you've dealt with this problem quite a few times before. And it becomes discouraging because you think you're failing because you don't see the results yet. But our problem is we're looking too short term. We have to look more long term. You can't measure your success by your students. Be very careful about measuring your success by your students. Because again, once If just about the time when you think you got the student fixed, and then he messes up again, and then we just fall apart because we tried and it didn't work. So, yeah, just remember that sometimes it's a matter of just keep on doing what you're doing. You don't necessarily have to come up with a bigger punishment or a bigger fix. You simply need to keep working with it, consistently working with it, and there will be improvement. It may take years, but there will be improvement. And oftentimes, because we're working with the situation ourselves, we find it hard to see the improvement, where someone else looking on from the outside could maybe see that. All right, what are some reasons that we fail? I'd like to talk about that now. What are some reasons that we fail? And again, by fail, well, I'll let you decide that. What are some reasons we fail? What do you think? What are some reasons that teachers fail? In whatever definition you think fail is, even just as a short-term thing, not necessarily just simply giving up. What are some reasons we fail? I'd love for you to come up with some here.
Pride.
Pride. Very good. That kind of encompasses all of the reasons we fail, really. They're all... Let's get more specific, though. What specific area of pride might we have a problem?
Overconfidence.
Good. We think we can handle it on our own strength. We think that we have what it takes, and we don't need help, I guess. What else? Okay, yeah, that could be a problem just as much. If you don't have any confidence in yourself, what's the fix for that then, if you're overconfident or underconfident? Let's talk some more about some other reasons we fail.
If we're not consistent, we treat something one way one time, but we don't treat it the same way the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't quite know what to expect from us.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. What often happens when we think we can handle it on our own? What do we fail to do that causes us to fail? Okay, thank you. Ask God for help. Is that, and then that's it? Sometimes we have to go a step further even. Or do another, maybe not a step further, do another step as well.
Ask others for advice.
Thank you. And that's one thing that I guess I wish so badly that I would have done more of when I was a teacher. I guess I'll excuse myself in thinking that, well, I didn't have all the connections, you know, that you do today. You know, back in the ancient times when I taught school, we didn't have, no, I didn't have an excuse. But I used the excuse to the teacher I was replacing. She had gone to Africa, and I wasn't able to call her or anything, and so I didn't ask advice from other teachers. But I could have called other teachers as well. And you have many teachers here, you know, that you can talk to, and make sure you find another teacher, experienced teacher, that you can talk to and ask advice from for when you face problems, because that's a huge help in not failing. Ask advice from another person. What else? There's still one more that I'm kind of looking for.
Not being able to apologize.
Okay. Very good. Not being willing to apologize. I think we're all able to, but sometimes we're not willing to. And it's hard. So that's good. That's another reason we fail. What else? Remember, what was your definition of failing? What is failing? Can you repeat it, Vivian?
Stopping trying.
So maybe one of the reasons we fail is because we... Give up.
Don't try.
Okay. We give up too soon. Sorry, it's kind of the same thing. We give up too soon. We tried for a couple weeks, and then because we think it's not working, then we give up. Remember, a lot of these problems, a lot of student character traits, you know, certain student is maybe he's lazy. You think you can fix laziness in a couple weeks? Probably not. How long does it take to fix laziness? You know, it might take an ongoing work. It might take years. It might take more time than what you have. And maybe it's not even your job to fix it either. Maybe that's the parent's job, and you need to talk to them and have them working with you to help you with this problem. Okay, very good. So reasons we fail. We give up too soon, trying to do it on our own strength. Again, we have pride in our lives, perhaps. We don't ask for help from others. We don't apologize. Those are often some reasons we fail. I was listening to the Pilgrim's Progress just recently, and I had to think how, you know, teaching school is a lot like Christian's journey to the celestial city. There's a lot of problems and dangers along the way. But what was Christian successful? What made him successful? What's that? Okay, what was his goal? The celestial city. That's right. That's exactly right. He kept going and he reached the celestial city. And I know maybe that's simplifying it too much, but isn't that one of our goals? We want to reach the celestial city. It's not the only goal we have, but it's definitely one of the goals that we have. And if we look in that long, have a long-term vision. Now, what were you going to someone over here? What were you saying?
Same thing?
Okay, different words. Very good. Now, if you think about Christian, when evangelists first came to him and warned him about the destruction of the city he was in and told him how to get the load off his back, does anyone remember what the first problem was that he faced? Okay, I guess that's true. I think his family did kind of laugh at him and tell him he's crazy. Yeah. But there was an actual obstacle in the path that he faced getting to before he got to the gate. The slough of Zaphon, that's right. And interestingly enough, he was given something to help him avoid that. And also another thing, when he got to the gate, what happened to him when he got to the gate? Maybe you haven't read that story recently enough.
That when guards were being thrown at him?
That's right. Very good. There was a tower over there that the enemy had, and they were shooting darts at him. But he had a tool with him that he was supposed to be using. I guess he forgot to check. What was that? It was the book that the evangelist had given him. Had given him a book with instructions. And a lot of the problems he faced were because he didn't read the book. In fact, one time an evangelist came to him and told him, well, look in your book. It says, and he looked in his book and it said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so he started knocking, and then they opened the door and he got in. But a lot of the troubles he faced could have been avoided if he would have simply read his book. In fact, if you remember when he was traveling down and the giant despair was there, he was supposed to stay on the path, but there was a shortcut through the woods, and it was about ready to start raining, I think, perhaps. And so he went on the shortcut because it was easier going and it wasn't so stony, and he started walking through the woods and got lost. And then giant despair got him and hope and put him in prison. So a lot of mistakes could have been avoided by simply reading the book. So why didn't his mistakes make him a failure? And again, that was answer ready because he made it to the celestial city. But they could have. They could have ended up in his failure. And that's the same way for you as teachers. You know, you may make some of these mistakes and they could cause your failure if you let it. But you must remember, when you make mistakes, check your book. Read the Bible and find the problem. So again, what is the secret to having success? I'll just go back to the words of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That was what made Joshua a success. And that is what can make you a success. First of all, be strong and courageous. Teaching school is not for the faint of heart. It's a big job. And there will be problems that you're going to face. And sometimes you're scared to go to school the next day. I know one day my wife, she got to school in the morning and was sitting in the car and she was weeping. She was crying because of all the pressures and things that were going on in school. And it was hard for her. But she was strong and courageous, and she went in the classroom with God's help. God somehow, I think there was a song playing on the tape, right? That gave her strength. Maybe that's what it takes sometimes, to give her the strength for the day. Be strong and courageous. God is with you. But again, remember, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If we can somehow meditate in God's Word as much as we can, and so we not only read it, the book, but we also have to, it says, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We obey everything that we can understand in the book. And then it says, then shalt thou have success. Then will you have success. It's not measured by how well your students do. It's not measured by if you make mistakes or not. It's not measured even by if your students become Christians. I think I heard Jonas say that some of his students are in prison. That does not make him a failure. It's not measured by that. We simply do the best we can with what we know. Read God's Word. Be strong and courageous. And do what we know how. You know, some days we may be in a tough place that we just don't know what to do, but we just keep on doing what we know, and God will provide. He will make you a success. That's what real success is. Real success is not wealth. It's not popularity. It's not being always happy. It's sometimes success involves tears, but that is true success when we can reach our long-term goals. We can glorify God. We can build His kingdom. Not all of our students will turn out and become preachers and preachers' wives, or teachers and teachers' wives, or whatever it might be that you think is successful. But if we do our best, that's all that God is asking from us. That's all I have.